I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. This year, Roy Henry Vickers marks his 40th anniversary as an artist. He does so with the publication of two books, already bestsellers, Storyteller, The Art of Roy Henry Vickers, and Cloudwalker, a number one bestseller here in BC and a bestseller nationally, a retelling of the Northwest Coast legend of the creation of the Three Rivers, the Skeena, the Nass, and the Stikine, written with Robert Budd, better known as Lucky Budd. They both join me now to talk about these two books, their great success, and we'll reflect on the life and art of Roy Henry Vickers. I had such a great chat with Roy just over a year ago when their last collaboration was released, Raven Brings the Light. That was a big hit, spending months on the bestseller list. Cloudwalker seems like it'll spend a lot of time on the list, as will Storyteller. It's such a handsome book of a decade's worth of prints and paintings that feature Roy's unique artistic style inspired by the west coast of British Columbia. There are some 118 previously unpublished works. I just got it less than a day ago and have spent a couple of hours at least lost in the stunning work that's between its covers. Both books are from Harbor Publishing. Roy's website is at royhenryvickers.com and Lucky's is at memoriestomemoirs.ca. Lucky Budd is a historian who has worked many years digitizing oral histories of the Nisga First Nation as well as other audio he's uncovered at the BC Archives and the CBC. He has a book coming out this fall, Echoes of British Columbia. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Roy Henry Vickers and Lucky Budd. Mr. Vickers, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good to talk to you again.
The same. And Mr. Budd, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Lucky, I understand that you live in Victoria, is that right?
Yep.
And Roy, you're up in Hazelton?
They're living on the banks of the Skeena River. Probably will be just like the salmon. I'll wind up ending my life there. coming to the end of my life there.
Yeah. Well, that's a long ways away, isn't it?
I would hope so.
Yeah. So how do you guys work together then? Do you guys meet up regularly like you do in Vancouver today?
Actually, we do it like we're doing this with you.
Oh, over the phone and all that?
Yeah, over the phone, on the computer, Skype sometimes.
We try to get together as often as we can, but, you know, jam as much into those meetings as we can, but sometimes it's few and far between. When we were working on Cloudwalker, at one point, Roy had a three-hour layover at the Vancouver airport, so I took a seaplane over. Uh-huh. We sat in a restaurant at the airport and did a whole bunch of work in the 3 hours that we had allotted to us to try to get some work done. So we find our time in person to do it, but typically we talk almost every day, actually.
Yeah. Roy, when was it that you first encountered Lucky?
That would be 11-11.
Yeah, and
2011.
Yeah, it was November of 2011.
Yeah, and people know of Lucky, and I mean, I guess we hear you on the CBC regularly with Cheryl, and you had a book, say, 4 years ago, was it?
Yeah, Voices of British Columbia came out in 2010, actually.
Yeah, and so what's Roy like to work with Lucky? I mean, it's obvious that you guys get along so well.
We have a lot of fun together. We definitely have a lot of fun together. I kind of joke that we're kind of like two 12-year-old boys when we get together. We get pretty excited and jump around. Not really, but yeah, we have a lot of fun working together. We have a lot in common, very similar values and a lot of very similar interests.
It's music. We both like Bob Dylan and Hank Williams.
When we get together, we typically pull out a couple guitars and even do some jamming. But working together just feels very natural, you know. It's very, very easy.
And I've asked you that before, Roy, when we talked just over a year ago about the idea of collaboration and in terms of working with Lucky. I mean, that's added a dimension to your career, to your work, hasn't it?
Well, it always when you connect with someone else and you click, the end product is greater than the sum of its parts because it's two lives coming together and stories from those lives that just kind of like weave together, and you inspire each other, and it's incredible.
In the 2.5 years since Roy and I've met, actually, mm-hmm. we've now put out three books and a DVD, and we have at least three, if not five, other projects on the go, hopefully coming out in the next two or three years. I mean, inspiration hits and we just go, 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 go.
Yeah, The Raven Brings the Light was such a big hit, and Cloudwalker is already number one on the list. Storyteller is also on the list. Does it surprise you that people are buying these books in the numbers that they are?
Yes, it does surprise. It surprised me with The Raven Brings the Light, and then I really expected it with Cloudwalker because it's such an electrifying story, and there are so many layers of the rivers, and also it's a timely story about the headwaters of the Skeena River and the Nass River and the Stikine, and now with all of the controversy over the Northern Gateway and LNG pipelines, it's a very timely event.
Indeed, yeah. I'll ask you about Northern Gateway in just a sec. I understand that you and Bateman were up at the Great Bear Rainforest a couple years ago, is that right?
That's right, yeah. I went there with my son William and got to experience the whales close, up close and quite personal. And I realized that we are the voice of the whales. So you can either keep your mouth shut and make money, or you can speak to the protection of those who can't speak for themselves. And that journey down to Whale Channel and the week that I spent there with my son photographing and being close to whales, it changed the way I think.
And with everything that's gone on this past week, how do you think this will go?
I think that there is a whole group of people involved with the Enbridge pipeline that are going to be shocked when it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But knowing the ocean and knowing the rivers, it's knowing the country and being a hunter and climbing over the mountains and being intimate with the land, it's a daunting task to run a pipeline from the tar sands to Kitimat. And the choice of Kitimat is ridiculous because Douglas Channel, for those massive supertankers, is virtually unnavigable. So it's like these people aren't thinking. Like where is their sanity? I don't understand it.
So that map that Enbridge has, where it's a clear sailing, that's not true.
Yeah, I've been up and down that channel many times, and to think that a tanker twice the size of a football field, and some of them larger, trying to navigate through those islands and reefs, it's crazy. It's like, why would? It's obviously somebody is just not in touch with the real world.
Now, Lucky, when you get to work with a guy like Roy, who, as we've just heard, knows a great deal about this province, who's traveled it a great deal over the years, as a historian, I mean, that must be an education every time you talk to Roy, every time you get you guys meet up and the sort and work on these projects that you're working on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, I approach any storyteller as if I'm a student and know nothing. I think if you come in with any sort of preconceived expertise, you're closing the door on what you can learn. And the role of any good storyteller is to teach. Embedded in every good story are lots of facts, lots of ways of the land and stuff. So, I mean, I come in, and when he gets rolling with storytelling, there's definitely a back and forth of communication. But, yeah, I mean, I learn so much. I learn so much. It's a real treat. Humbling, often.
Now, I mentioned earlier that Cloudwalker is already a big hit. Lucky, do you have a sense because these books have sold well already, Raven Brings the Light and now Cloudwalker, there is a need, isn't there? I mean, there's a desire amongst the book-buying public, at least, for these stories.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're actually already hard at work on the follow-up to this book. This is one and two, Raven Brings the Light being number one, Cloudwalker being number two, of at least four, if not five, in this storytelling series that Roy and I both would like to see happen. But, I mean, there's an immense need for more understanding of the land and of the culture of the peoples of the Northwest Coast. And, again, I'm very humbled to be a part of this project. It's been amazing, the response. I mean, when we did our opening last year at the waterfall building of Raven Brings the Light, it was so jam-packed. There were six-hour lineups for signatures. I mean, we had no idea that response and the energy that we would get back from these projects would be as enormous as they were, and we were both really taken aback.
And Roy, as a storyteller, what do we lose when we don't hear these stories if you don't pass them on?
What do you lose? Holy moly, I couldn't even wrap my brain around that one. Obviously, for those who are trying to do what they want to do with pipelines, they lose touch with reality, with the real world. It's not about a clock. It's about present time. It's about the wind. It's about the rivers and the rise and fall of the rivers. What happens when the snow comes? And what happens, what fish come to the river first? And we look at the Nass and the Skeena and the Stikeen, and every species of salmon run up those rivers. So it's all of these things that the world does not know unless somebody is going to tell the story. So for me, that's my responsibility.
Yeah. And I'd like to actually speak to that for a
yeah,
minute.
Please.
As far as the how we view our role in the link of the chain of the storytelling, it's just one link in the chain. And again, these are oral stories, so it was very important to us that at both the back of Raven Brings the Light and Cloudwalker, there's a link where people can download Roy's initial telling of this story. So it shouldn't just be something that is read. You can also hear it, because these are stories that come from an oral tradition, and that's incredibly important to preserve.
Yeah, I read the book yesterday, Cloudwalker, and then I went to your site, Lucky, and then I heard the clip of Roy reading that, and it just added something to it that I would not have gotten if I had just read the book itself.
Yeah,
and absolutely.
Yeah, and you tell a great story at the end of the book, Roy, about when you first heard this story yourself.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember when that was?
When it was?
Yeah.
It
was from a tape, wasn't it?
I would be 17 years old, walking the streets of Victoria, wondering what the hell I'm doing here, and where is Kit Katla, and how do I get back home when home is where my family is, and they're in Victoria. And so my connection to the real world beyond the buildings and the pavement and the traffic and everything was the Provincial Museum, and I used to go down there and hang out and look at the traps in the trapper's cabin and stand in front of the totems and touch the stuffed moose and the stuffed bear. And that was this lonely boy in this big city. And even though I was with my family, I had this pain of loneliness all of the time. And the only place I could find where it would be massaged a little bit would be in this provincial museum. And in my visits to the museum, I began to meet people and hear tapes and stories about the world that I was brought up in.
And then you heard this story on a tape, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are so many stories. Like the one voice that I imitate often of this man who's being interviewed by Imbert Orchard, and he's being asked, what is the real name of the Skeena River? I'm pretty sure it's not Skeena. And the old man says, oh, yeah, it took me a long time to find the name of this river. And finally, this old woman, she tells me, Xien, Xien. And that means the juice from the clouds. And the peoples called Git, Tani Git, all these people here. So Git Xien, that's the people of that Skeena River. So Git Xien, they call them today. But every time I think of it, I hear this old man, and when I hear his voice, I hear my grandfather, I hear storytellers from my village, I hear Ward Marshall, who's a white man, but he's a trapper, and he's close to the land, and I hear his stories, and it connects me to that real world. I have this man that I work with. He's a somatic movement practitioner. His name's Servaas Mess, when I go to him to work with them, I walk into this room, and there's a clock on the wall, and there's no hands on the clock, and there's two words, present time. And to me, that's what the natural world is about. It's not about what I'm going to do tomorrow. It's like what's happening right now. What's the weather doing? What's the river doing? Yeah. Being in touch with what's real.
And to go into my connection with Roy, like you asked at the very beginning, he heard these stories in the 60s. It was my job in the first decade of the 2000s to listen to all of those recordings by Ingrid Orchard and digitize them and preserve them for the Royal BC Museum and the CBC. So we both came to these stories from completely different angles, but have such a deep connection with the stories and thereby with one another. And now it's an honor to be one link in the chain to be able to bring these stories to the world in this way.
And another thing about that is that this Cloudwalker guy, well, I've lived parts of his life. Mm-hmm. I've been trapping. I've been fishing. I've been on those rivers. I know them intimately. Even sitting in a canoe and going down the Skeena River and the Bulkley River. So there are many things that he did in the stories that are told that I know they're part of my life.
And we include that in the narrative of the story, just in the nuances of the things that he does.
Yeah.
And again, this speaks to the layers and the traditions of storytelling in general. You know, it should take on a life of its own.
And that's the other thing is, When I go to do a reading of the book, it's really weird because I've never read the book. I've told the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are things that come across your mind, and you never tell the story the same twice. The story always changes, but it's like people. We're all different, but we're all the same.
Exactly.
And so in the telling of the story, many, many little stories come to light that are part of the big story, and it just grows and grows over the years. So as a storyteller, you grow and your stories grow.
Such joy, hey?
Yeah. Now, there's the other book that you guys have out at the moment is Storyteller. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous book. I guess it's the last 10 years or so of work that you've done, Roy?
Yes, it's all of the images that have been created in silk screen prints and limited editions and all of the stories that go with those images.
Yeah.
And that's another part of storytelling. Like when I began as an artist, I was this really shy, introspective person. And when somebody wanted me to come and talk to people, I would say, well, a picture's worth 1,000 words. I don't talk. I paint pictures. And then as I began to open up and learn that the stories that were told to me, I am responsible for. How is someone else going to hear the story if I don't tell the story? How many people that have heard those stories are given the gift of storytelling? Not very many. And so one day when this eagle dropped this feather and the feather landed on my chest, it changed my whole life. And I began to be responsible to the stories, and I made an agreement with the Creator, and that was, if I'm asked, then I will go and speak and tell the stories.
The other great thing about the pieces in this book, they all are accompanied by a memory, a remembrance. Even little things like where you were when you did it, or something that you were doing, where you were that inspired it. When you look at, say, a piece of artwork that you've done, do you remember right away where you were?
Yeah.
You remember everything, right?
Oh yeah. It's like, for me, there are many people who ask the question, so which one's your favorite?
Yeah.
And I always smile and I say to them, how many children do you have? And whatever the answer is, I say, well, which one's your favorite? Well, of course, they're all my favorites. How can I have one favorite over another? And that's the same with the images. I remember when they came to life. I remember when they became an image in my mind. And I remember the excitement and the shaking hands of taking that image out of my head and putting it on a piece of paper.
Lucky, let's pretend for a sec that Roy's not in the room. What's represented in this book, Storyteller? I mean, I know it's 10 years. It's also 40 years. You know, his 40th anniversary as an artist. As a historian looking at the work that's in this book, I mean, what does it say about Roy Henry Vickers?
Well, it's really interesting because I had a perspective on this book that no one else really had, in that my job, part of it, was to edit all of those stories that he gave for each image. So mm-hmm. I actually read the entire book from cover to cover a couple of times, not looking at the images. I mean, I'm very familiar with him because I know his art so well.
Yeah.
But you get to see a development in him as he... I mean, it's basically a timeline of his life and the things that he's processing. He moved back to the Skeena River with his family 8 years ago, so that is represented in the art. And you get to see the sorts of trips that he did with his family to places like Good Hope Cannery, and what he would learn there. And you get to see his development not only as a person, but as a family man, and as an artist, and as an environmentalist. And within this collection, there is layers and layers and layers, I mean, multiple layers in every image of past, future, present, hopes, dreams, memories. I mean, his art is so layered. I mean, it's the only word I have for it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't, I just got the book less than a day ago, and I've already spent like a couple of hours with it, and you know, it's very easy to get lost in the images. Now, the funny thing is, I know it's art, I know it's a painting, it's not a photograph, but I'm looking at it as if it's a photograph and looking for every detail, every nuance.
And there are so many details. I mean, if you really get into the nitty-gritty of how Roy... of Roy's art, you'll notice the subtle trees in the background. Like, hey, is that an eagle's head in there?
Yeah.
Or is that a whale? So there's so many very, very small, beautiful, intricate details. Again, they're layers of meaning. They're all there for a reason, and I'm not sure he's even conscious of it when he's doing it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you'd more have to talk about that with him. But I think it does take us back to the Cloudwalker book, though, because essentially, by being a storyteller, he's able to, and what stories do is they give you a sense of place and a sense of a feeling ascribed to a scene or a thing. And now that we're in this whole Northern Gateway pipeline debate, there is now a story that people can, with Cloudwalker, there's now a story that people can attach to this place and to these people and to this environment that they wouldn't necessarily be able to do without a story to attach it to. And again, that speaks to Roy's imagery and the role of storytelling, which is really what it's all about.
Roy, do you think after 40 years you're a better artist? I mean, do you think you work, say, faster, or are you busier? I mean, it seems like you're busier.
Yeah, I'm a better person, so that would make me a better artist. When you know, I'm a pipe carrier and a sweat lodge leader, so my life is a spiritual journey through this world. And when you hear of the great mystery referred to time after time, I come to a place where I realize that my questions will be answered and my prayers will be, light will shine in the darkness. And so, I believe I get better with each year that goes by. So much so that now at the age of 68, after working for 40 years, and hoping that I have 30 or 40 more years, it feels like I'm just beginning to be able to tell the stories with imagery. I'm just learning how to really do it. And, it's all about your life, right? You have a life, and you live this life. And you are responsible for what you learn in this life. So if you don't tell the stories, then people aren't going to learn some of those things. And for me, the reason that there were so many storytellers among our people was, first of all, that's the way you taught. There were no written books, no written language. You listened to the stories, and then you heard them sung over and over again, and you couldn't look at the song in a book and sing it. You had to sing the song with the singers. And then the song became part of you. And so it is with the stories. You hear the stories over and over and over, and then the story becomes part of you. And all of those parts of you that can identify with the story, they come alive. And in their living, you share those with other people. And what you emote, they feel. So the stories become part of them. So to me, that it's like storytelling is this huge part of our society that has been lost for a long time. And yet, it's what every child yearns for. And in the sweat lodge, the first round is for the children. And what I say to the adults that are sitting there is, you know, think of all the children in your life, but pay attention to the child that is inside of you and take care and nourish that child, because the child is you. And so you can parent yourself in the shortcomings of your parents. You can parent yourself. You can grandparent yourself.
What about, you mentioned that you're 68 years old. What's it like physically? I mean, I know you're an elder, but you're far from elderly. How do you deal with growing older? I mean, do you find that spiritually you're not 68, I'm assuming, but physically, I met you about a year or so ago. You don't look 68, but did you feel it at all sometimes?
Well, I'm 68, so whatever I feel is what 68 feels like. But at the same time, you know, I joke about the pain that I deal with every day with 3 fractured vertebrae and 2 fractured cervical, I broke my neck and an ankle that's fused. And so definitely my body feels older, but my spirit doesn't, and my mind doesn't. I still think it's kind of weird for people to refer to me as an elder.
Yeah.
I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that I'm collecting an old age pensioner's check when I'm not an old age pensioner. Yeah.
But you must notice that. I mean, 40 years ago, 68 looks a lot different than 68 looks now, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. I never thought I would ever see 68 48 years ago. It was like, I'll never make it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I'm there. Whoa, I'm there. So if I live to be 98, that's going to come so fast, because the older you get, the faster time goes by, and the faster time goes by, the older you get faster.
Lucky you're a young guy.
Thank you.
What's it like when you hear Roy talk about the perspective that he's gained over the years, not only looking back but also looking ahead? What has that changed in terms of your own life?
It's a blessing in my life. I lost my father in 2008,
uh-huh.
And Roy is the same age as both of my parents. And, you know, it's really funny. His sister Patricia always jokes with us. When we're together, we very much have a father-son connection, but sometimes it's hard to tell which one's the father and which one's the son. No, it's a blessing to have someone who's older in your life who, I mean, I'm really, really deep into Roy's experiences, because we're also working on a memoir, mm-hmm. The story of Roy's life. So, I mean, I've got to know him and his family, as he's got to know my family, but even his grandparents and various uncles and stuff who are no longer here, I know them very well, and I feel when he's telling his story, he's such a gifted storyteller, that I'm actually there. It's a blessing to have the friendship that I have with Roy. I try not to think about it too much. You know, it's something I'm living. I'm not very objective about it. I mean,
yeah.
Roy's part of my family, and I'm part of Roy's family, and that's a blessing.
You know, the other thing about reading Storyteller that I got out of it, and I've lived in Vancouver my whole life, but I haven't traveled the province as much as you guys have, obviously. But the sense that I get is how much, Roy, you love BC, and how much it's a part of your identity. Whether you're up north, where you live now, or you're over on the island where Lucky is, or over in Tofino where you have a gallery, or even here in Vancouver, BC is such a part of who you are. I mean, in my sense is, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is that you feel at home anywhere in this province.
Everywhere in this province, yeah. I just made a trip into the Nass River. As I said, I'm a sweat lodge leader. And years ago, the Nishka Listens government gave me the privilege for the rest of my life as a sweat lodge leader to use lava stones from the lava bed. And so my agreement was that I would, when I'm finished with the stones, I will bring them back and I will get new stones. So I just made a trip a few days ago with a young man. And I went to Greenville where I was born, and I could feel the old people, and they're all gone, you know. And I look at the young people, and I think, well, I'm the old people now. And so I wound up in the museum there, and I was home. I was at home, and they could feel like I was at home, like I was from their home. And when I go to Kitkatla, that's home. When I go to Victoria, that's home. When I come to Vancouver, this is home. This is where my grandparents from England settled down and died and told me the stories of Capilano and the twin sisters and clean fatherhood. And this is where Chief Dan George lived, and I worked with him and learned so many things from him as a gifted storyteller. He just lit up my life. When I go to Duncan, I'm home. I carry a name from Duncan. When I go to Rivers Inlet, that's home. When I go to Bella Bella, it's home. So it chokes me up to be connected to so many people in so many different ways. And then to walk, go through the province and feel the rivers and to go hunting and harvest elk down in the Kootenays. And I go back there every year, and the people welcome me back. And they give from their lives, and I become part of them, and they become part of me. So it's a very humbling blessing.
Yeah, and it's been such a pleasure last year and now this year to talk to you, Roy, and this year to talk to Lucky, because he's such a remarkable figure himself. Good luck with these books, you guys, and congratulations on they're beautiful books.
Thank you. I really appreciate that compliment too. That's not lost on me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe, for what you do and how much you give as an interviewer. It's a pleasure to communicate with you.
Absolutely. We'll have more books for you next year, and the year after that, we're just going to keep on going here. We're really enjoying it.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for the next one. And we'll talk in the fall, Lucky.
Sounds great, my friend. Yeah. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Roy.
Thank you very much.
Happy trails, Joe.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. The website's for more, memories2memoirs.ca, and, of course, royhenryvickers.com. The books are Storyteller, The Art of Roy Henry Vickers, and Cloudwalker by Roy Henry Vickers and Lucky Budd. Both are from Harbor Publishing. Lucky Budd and Roy Henry Vickers join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.